Discussion keeps the world turning.
This is Roundtable.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Roundtable, where we serve up piping hot debates on the issues that sizzle in China and beyond. I'm Niu Honglin. Have you ever wondered what happens when the age-old practice of farming gets a high-tech makeover? Well, you're about to find out. Picture this. Robots are planting seeds, drones are flying overhead, monitoring crop health, and all the while, farmers are managing it all from a smartphone app. Sounds like a scene from a sci-fi movie, right? But this is happening today in China, where the agricultural landscape is step by step being transformed by some seriously smart tech. So, pull up a chair and let's chat about how these new quality productive sources are changing the way things are grown. For today's show, I'm joined by Brendan Yates and Xin Yu. Now grab your virtual compass and follow us to the heart of the discussion. New quality productive forces refer to harnessing scientific and technological innovation to significantly boost economic productivity. As spring arrives and temperatures rise, the soil having good permeability, it's a good time for timely sowing. Meanwhile, new quality productive sources are also making China's agricultural development increasingly intelligent and efficient. But before asking how are the new positive and productive forces manifested in the agricultural industry, I'd like to spend a little time for traditional agriculture. So, Brendan, I'm going to direct the question to you. Do you have any experience related to agriculture, and what's a typical farmland like in South Africa?
Not firsthand. Obviously, I've visited my fair share of farms, and farming is a very common and lucrative business in South Africa. But generally, when you do see a farming layout in South Africa, it's still pretty traditional. But that being said, there are a lot of advancements taking place. I think of it like when we were discussing this topic and researching it, just off the top of my head, I remembered a guy that I went to school with is working for a company that sends out drones to monitor farming situations across various farms. So
very popular.
Yeah, so monitoring, you know, like water levels and that kind of thing. And I think this investment came into his company when he was like 25, but it was one of the biggest, if I'm not mistaken, one of the biggest investments in tech farming in South African history. So yeah, he's thriving and doing incredibly well in that industry. And I think he's just an example of a few tech industries in South Africa that are applying their technology to farming, because farming is such a important industry in South Africa, and I'm assuming that's also happening in various countries around the world.
Definitely, and all three of us actually are grown from in a city environment.
Yeah.
We don't have firsthand experience of how things are grown.
Yeah,
how
but I don't know how close farms are to like a city like Beijing in China. But I mean, in South Africa, for example, where I'm from, the city Cape Town, so it is a typical, you know, urban setting. But I mean, if you drive for 40 minutes, you'll find yourself in a complete farmland. So even though a lot of South Africans in the city where I'm from grew up in a city setting, farmlands and agriculture and nature is
not so far
very
away.
Close by. Yeah, because, well, I mean, compared to China, South Africa is quite a small country. So I think that also has something to do with it.
Yes, yes. And also the thing is, when we talk about agriculture, it's such a very vast and grand concept. Actually, there are so many different aspects. You grow vegetables, you grow
grains.
Grains would be relatively more, in my opinion, professional, because we can all have a little plant of tomato in a tiny little vase in our apartment, but it's hard to do that.
Or you can buy them from the store.
I can buy them from the store, but growing them in an apartment, having other parts.
It's a nice little project to have as well.
Exactly.
To like grow your own organic fruit or vegetables.
And you would have experience on that, and you would have this imagination of how things are grown in the farmland. But actually, that is changing. But before diving into the details and fun examples we discovered during preparing for the show, actually, let's first paint a bigger picture of the current situation of grain production in China.
Yeah, sure. So according to the latest government work report, last year, China's grain output hit a new record high of 690 95 million metric tons. And this number showed an increase of 1.3% year on year. And actually, last year was the ninth consecutive year that China registered this level of over 650 million metric tons of grain production. And means that the per capita share of grain reached 493 kilograms. And that number also was up 7 kilograms compared to the previous year. And this figure continues to remain above the international food security benchmark of 400 kilograms. And also, over the past years, we have seen facility agriculture. In Chinese, it's called 设施农业. It's
becoming agriculture as
protect,
well.
Yeah, agriculture. It literally means that crops are grown within controlled environments so that some of the factors such as temperature, humidity, light, and soil nutrients, they can be better regulated so that the crops can have a better or ideal growing conditions. And in terms of this, the current area of facility agriculture in China has reached 40 million mu. So that's around 2.6 million hectares. And also, I think we have seen the countries promoting the mechanization of farm work over the years. So nationwide, the mechanization rate in crop plowing, planting, and harvesting had risen from 67.2% in 2017 to 73% in 2022. And China is also aiming to further increase the rate to 75% by 2025. So now, as the weather gets warmer, it's the spring season, and farmers in different parts of China, they have actively started spring plowing and sowing, which is a critical time to ensure a grain harvest in China.
We know here in China, we have a population of over 1.4 billion, mm-hmm. and it is vital for a country with this large a population scale to secure food security, let alone more and more people wanted to and have the need to be exposed to more different types of fruits, vegetables, livestock, different types of meat and fish, and all that depend on agriculture for sure. And when it comes to agriculture, there are so many different aspects that you can use actually high tech to improve. We want the agricultural activities to be more efficient, to rely on more technology so that more labor can be free out of the mundane and also quite demanding agricultural activities and labor work. And I thought I had been interviewing the quite big fair share of let's say farmlands and greenhouses, and I thought the technology I saw was already quite impressive. For example, I went to a greenhouse in Xizang, and it is because of the high altitude, it is really hard for them to harness, to actually cultivate different types of fruits because the conditions are completely different and you have to endure the high altitude, you have to endure the lack of oxygen in the air, you have to make sure that even if it's in a greenhouse, the construction of the greenhouse is up to standard, not only up to standard for different types of plants to grow, but also to be able to stay stable in the area. And all that was being dealt with different types of technology. And like Xing Yu has already mentioned, the temperature, the humidity, and all that was managed by machine. But apparently nowadays, we are looking at more fun and also impressive examples of technology aiding the improvement and also the development of agriculture in different places.
Yeah, sure. I'll just give one of the examples. I just recalled the farming scene, let's say in the past in China. I would say that in the vast fields, it's farming is something that it's laborious and it required human labor from the whole process. But nowadays, with the help of these smart machinery, like Brandon mentioned too, the drones. In one of the farms in Yaoqiao, it's a small town located in Zhenjiang city in Jiangsu province, so that's in the eastern part of China. And it's really common to spot some of these flying drones. They soar above the wheat fields and they spray the pesticides to protect the farm. So I was told that years ago they used this self-propelled plant protection equipment. So basically, it's a large motor vehicle where a farmer sits inside and drives the vehicle, you know, to spray the pesticides.
Transformer. In a farmland.
Sounds fancier. But nowadays, they don't need a man to go inside the fields anymore. We just use these drones. They can spray pesticides more precisely, and they know when it's the best timing for this crop to get to be sprayed on the pesticides. And it, on one hand, it really reduced human labor, and also it increased grain harvests in the land. So the data shows that in 2022, the farm achieved a 20% increase of the grain yields thanks to this smart machinery. And over the years, the local farm has also provided more than 10,000 farming households with this technical training, and it helped over 3,000 villagers shake off poverty. So I think that's one of the examples that show how this digital farmland systems are being applied in some of the actual farming scenes in China.
I'd be interested to see how some of this tech is lifting some people out of poverty, because I don't know if this is an issue in China, but when I think of a country like South Africa, for example, where job security and finding work, even in this sort of industry, like where human labor is required, but it's becoming less and less required with the development of technology, if that is being, kept in mind, because with the development of tech and, increased levels of farming and, more precise farming, I'm hoping that a lot of these companies are also bearing in mind that it probably is, even though it's not highly sought after work, there are going to be, people that are potentially losing out on employment opportunities because of the development of this tech. So I'm hoping that's also something that's being kept in mind. Maybe, some of these people that were required for human labor in these instances are maybe being trained to take on this tech, and maybe their kind of work is evolving, but I think that's something that has been a concern in lesser developed countries like South Africa, where if we implement this tech, it's great, it saves money and it lowers food costs and increases production and that kind of thing, but on the other side of that, there are some jobs being lost, which is a concern in a country like South Africa, where unemployment is a huge problem.
I think that is a really fair point. But in the meantime, you got to see that with the help of technology, for example, in a certain farm in Sichuan province, we see that because that they use artificial intelligence and big data to monitor the situation in the farm and monitor the condition of different plants, actually, these kind of technology would help those farmers with less experience and with less knowledge about how to precisely grow what kind of designated plant to understand better how to take care of them. So instead of having years of experience on growing apples, see on top of my head, apples, maybe you're an expert in growing apples, but this year the market does not want that many apples. They want pears.
Or maybe your land is more conducive to growing something
else.
Exactly.
Yeah. And in that case, it is hard and also a bit too much to ask all farmers to know everything about every plant. Mm-hmm. But with the help of big data and artificial intelligence, they do not have to know all the knowledge behind every plant. What they can do is follow the advice that's sent to them by some expert via technology, or basically generated by artificial intelligence. You can follow their lead. If they tell you to water the plant, you can do that. If they want you to raise the temperature or advise you to raise the temperature, you can also do that. And in that occasion, I feel like technology, on the other hand, would increase more job opportunities for those that are not mature gardeners or farmers.
And also potentially increase the success rate of the work that they're putting in. And probably it's probably also a time-saving technique as well, because it gives you more of an opportunity to figure out what sorts of farming and what kind of products you need to focus on.
Yes, yeah. That's happening as well.
And also, in fact, in China, the country is facing the situation where the farming population is growing older. As the younger generation, they are pursuing jobs in bigger cities. So we're definitely seeing this issue of labor shortage in farming in China. So I think we are achieving the goal of agricultural modernization. It's one way to address this issue as well.
Whereas in South Africa, they'd be facing a... this is what's so fascinating about like talking about different countries' needs and perspectives, because in South Africa, it would probably be the opposite side of things, because the farming is so... it's such an integral part of, family business and that kind of thing, where it's quite generational. So even if there is like an aging farming population, it generally gets passed down to families. Mm. Whereas in China, it seems like it's completely different, where, you know, there's huge amounts of populations moving out of the rural areas into cities to pursue more high-tech, you know, futuristic modern jobs. So it's interesting to see how different countries are grappling with different issues, but still trying to focus on modernization, which I think is a good thing.
Yes. And in the meantime, we got to see that with the help of technology, we are transforming certain areas or environment that are not traditionally suitable for growing vegetables or growing plants to the kind of scenario that you can actually utilize. For example, we are talking about vegetable factories. And in these kind of vegetable or plant factories, they are definitely vertical. They are built in a huge building. You do not see the vast land or farm field that you would automatically imagine when it comes to agriculture. It's more like a factory, and it can be quite efficient. For example, we see that here in China, with this vertical, one specific factor I find quite interesting is that when a plant absorbs light for performing photosynthesis, it only absorbs some wavelengths of light and reflects others. And when it's in a natural environment, when it's natural sunlight, you cannot really customize the wavelengths of light. But in these kind of factories, if you visit one, I think there is one of those factory here in Beijing, and if you visit it, you would see different color of lights shining in different levels of the building, because different plants requires different wavelength of lights that will help them produce or perform better, and those can all be controlled. So yes, technology is transforming our world into a completely different picture that as we usually imagine.
Yeah, and I think all of this kind of tech will also improve the actual quality of the products that are going out.
Yes.
Because I think previously, you know, there have been kind of standardized forms of farming that would be applied to multiple products or vegetables or fruits or whatever it may be. But if each product is being monitored and farmed in a unique way that is best for that product, you'll probably find that what comes out of that production process is a much higher quality product.
Yeah, actually, and also in China, there are research institutions. They are striving for a more profound research about unmanned agricultural systems. The institution from China Agricultural University, they have built this an experimental orchard in suburban Beijing in Pinggu district, and they're actually growing pears and peach in this small orchard. And some of these technologies, such as the Internet of Things, big data, and mechanized operations are adopted so that these sensors are embedded in these whole farming area, and they are deployed throughout the fields. They can monitor the crops 24/7, and they can collect various information such as the fertilizer, the temperature, and the occurrence of pests and diseases, so that the base station can make precise decisions accordingly, whether it's time for pesticides or whether they should regulate the temperatures. And according to the professor, these implementation of smart orchard management has really decreased the pesticide usage and also reduced fertilizer usage throughout the process, and in this way can significantly improve the fruit quality.
Mm. For me personally, I'm very glad that we're having this conversation, because we talk about technology, we talk about artificial intelligence on Roundtable quite so much. But I think previously most or many of our topics revolves around the fact that they are writing articles, they are generating pictures, they are doing artsy stuff for human. But there has always been this major argument that artificial intelligence is there to help us clean dishes, wash our clothes, plant trees, or plant or do some farming activity instead of delving into the creativity area that human beings should be enjoying and contributing. And now finally we are looking at technology helping lifting people out of poverty, lifting people out of major labor that they feel burdened, and that in my opinion is definitely something amazing. But my opinion is not that important when it comes to agricultural activity, because I am not the one who's doing all these actual work. Mm-hmm. So how do farmers or agricultural professionals perceive and embrace these new technologies? How are they doing? Are they embracing it and welcoming it, or do they find it a bit too difficult to actually utilize in daily life?
I actually interviewed this question about the professor from the China Agricultural University that I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And the professor says, really, nowadays, it's at the current situation, it's really hard to achieve a full unmanned farming in China.
Fair.
But some of these equipments that can, they can be applied to the farming work in most of the scenes. But for these ordinary farmers, when can it be more affordable for them to purchase these equipments? And he says, with the development of technology, probably in the future, it will be more affordable. And also in the meantime, we have to improve the education on the local farmers so that they can keep up with the latest advancement in technology when it comes to farming. So I think in a way, in the future, actually, there is still a long way to go.
Yes, yes.
I think education is going to be a large part of that, because like you said, there are potentially going to be situations where certain farms or farmers, probably particularly in rural areas and, you know, smaller scale farms, that may potentially fall behind with all of this incredible rapid advancement that we're seeing in this field. Mm. So I think that's also going to be something, and we've seen it in, we've discussed it before as well, you know, with remote teaching and that kind of thing, where there's kind of a standardized education platform that keeps people up to date with, you know, this advancement in tech. And hopefully something similar is being done in this industry as well.
I was wondering, we talk about new quality productive forces, we talk about new technologies, basically giving traditional industry a makeover. So let's use our imagination. If we can do something to change the face of agriculture, what do you think are the aspects that we should put in our effort to?
I would just like to see it being guaranteed that whatever products are being sent out to the general population, that the nutritional value, particularly of things like fruits, vegetables, meats, etc., are being utilized at the highest level. So I want to know, if I'm eating an apple, that it's got the highest amounts of vitamin C, the highest amounts of whatever other nutrients are in there. And that would be something great for me, because when you know, buy a fruit or vegetable or, you know, meat product from a grocery store, for example, you're not really sure how nutritional or how, you know, fresh or whatever the product may be. So if tech is being utilized to get the full amount, particularly of nutrients from food products, that for me, that would be fantastic.
I think in China, food security is always one of the top priorities in the country, especially when it comes to the production of agricultural products. It's really, it's highly uncertain. It's susceptible to the climate change and also extreme weather. And also China is the world's largest importer of agricultural products. So there is also uncertainty in the international market. Probably these are some of the issues we have to address And also, I think we have seen much emphasis was put on the self-sufficiency. So in the long term, I think the country is not only developing its technology, but also its striving to cultivate more talents so that we have the younger blood who are involved in this cause. I have seen this interesting term called new farmers. In Chinese, it's 新农人. It basically means those young individuals who have received education in big cities and they now come back to the rural areas to pursue their career in the agricultural field. So probably in the long term, this is also one of the key aspects that we should pay attention to.
Especially yes. to address the aging issue in farming.
Definitely. Yeah.